early game today. 110 looking to win the series against the Reds with Chris Sale on the mound. Grant, how are you?
G-Mac.
Yeah, doing well, guys.
What do you, obviously there's 10 games left in the season, two games back of the Diamondbacks and the Mets. Realistically, with how well, especially the Mets are playing, what do you think the record needs to look like in the final 10?
Gosh, I think that 8-2 is probably what you're looking at. You know, I mean, it's hard to say what the outcome of that Mets series is going to be is obviously going to go a long way towards it. But when you factor in what the Mets have to do or who they have to play, which is specifically the Phillies for the next four games, and then also, you know, dealing with the Milwaukee Brewers, that's not going to be easy either down the stretch. And then you got the Padres and Diamondbacks closing the season against one another with three games. So there's a lot that can still be decided in the next week and a half. But if you're talking about controlling what the Braves can control, I mean, I said it when they went on this road trip to face the Reds and the Marlins, they need to win five of these games. You win anything less than four, you are really putting yourself at a disadvantage considering how well the Mets have played.
Grant, we were talking earlier before we got you on. Obviously, Ozzie's on his rehab stint, supposed to be coming back tomorrow. Where do you see him fitting in as far as in the lineup? And, I mean, he is batting right-handed because I guess I'm assuming that batting left is a problem for that wrist and hand. Where do you see him fitting into this roster once he gets back?
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue that has him batting right-handed is just not feeling comfortable from the left side of the plate swinging the bat. So I think the right-handed thing is kind of an example of doing everything that you can to get back and help the team, which is I do feel like something Ozzie Albies is very much about. He's not enjoying himself sitting on the sidelines watching and feeling like, hey, I can't do anything to help out. And the team's really been going through it this year, and he knows as well as anybody from going through it himself. But it's going to be interesting, I think, to see what kind of options the Braves have, which is a weird word to say because it doesn't feel like it many times. They have very many options worth exploring. But you put Ozzie Albies back at second base. What does that do to Whit Merrifield? Does he play third base? I don't think you're going to see him in the outfield given the foot situation. It would probably put him at a disadvantage out there, if not completely dealing with too much discomfort running around for nine innings. Then could you move Gio Urshela over to shortstop if you got Whit Merrifield at third base? Urshela has shown he's very good with the glove, but Orlando Arcia has been a perfectly capable defender. It's just a problem offensively speaking. So I guess what Brian Snitker and the Braves kind of have to ask themselves is, do they or are they willing to sacrifice a little bit of that defense for some offense if that's a possibility? And over the final 10 games, do you just kind of try a few things for nothing else than to satisfy your curiosity of how can we make this thing better? But you're going to put Ozzie Albies in the lineup.
Yes.
The question is, how do you keep Whit Merrifield in there?
Yeah, that's an interesting proposition is, you know, you might as well do what you can. I mean, there's not like you've had one lineup steady for the last couple of months anyway. You might as well mix and match and see what you got. I hadn't thought of the idea of moving Arcia out of there, but with some of those at-bats that he's had, especially awful in big moments, like, I don't know, you can't help but think about that.
No, and I think that's really the thing. I talked about this, you know, with the morning show this week as well. You know, the ball will find you, and that means in the lineup, that means in the field, it means just in general in that moment. And there's been a lot of that for Orlando Arcia, who is the worst qualified hitter with runners in scoring position in Major League Baseball this year. That is not a distinction that you want. And there have been times, and every once in a while, yes, he does come through. It's not to say he fails every time, but it's one of the products of when you don't have Austin Riley, when you don't have Ronald Acuna Jr., when you're missing Ozzie Albies and several other stars for months at a time, all of a sudden you can't really just have Orlando Arcia down at the bottom of the lineup struggling, being more of a glove-first type player with the occasional power and the occasional clutch hit. Now you're asking everybody, honestly, to step up and do a little bit more. And that, I think, may have been asking a bit much from a player like Orlando Arcia.
Grant, is Michael Harris a healthy season away from being the best center fielder of baseball?
I don't know that he's necessarily there, but I would love to see what a healthy season looks like for Michael Harris. I think he's had some disruptions the last couple of years, but he gave us a really good indicator over his first two seasons in the big leagues, the kind of talent and the kind of numbers he can put up, but we just haven't been able to see him get to do it for 162. But he's going to be on that short list if you're asking me. Defensively, he does so much, and offensively, I still feel like there's another level for him, and hopefully we'll see that in 2025.
What about the other guys? I know we're going to get Ozzie back tomorrow. But what about the other guys that are banged up? I know it looked like, and maybe still does look like, it would take a playoff appearance to see them. But what are you hearing about Austin Riley and Reynaldo Lopez?
Not hearing much about Austin Riley. That's pretty much the timetable that does put him outside of the regular season window. So what that could look like in the first week of October is a true wait-and-see scenario. Ronaldo Lopez, I think, has, by going through all the testing and the imaging coming out fine, is going to be in line to come off the injured list with 4 days to go, 4 games to go in the regular season. So he could come in and help out, and I would imagine that the Braves, if they feel comfortable, Ronaldo feels comfortable, would put him right back out there, maybe on a little bit of a limited pitch count. But we saw when he came off the injured list this last time, he can make a major impact, yep, even in a 5 or 6 inning stint.
Hey, was it just Marcel just tired of carrying his damn lineup, or it was just a little bit of fatigue, or just baseball happened as far as that long drought until last night for the home runs?
Yeah, it's just a long season. Eventually, everybody goes through some version of a slump or a slowdown or downturn or whatever you want to call it. But Marcell Ozuna's downturn would be a good month for some players in this lineup, and I don't say that to pick on anybody. It's just, you know, he's still collecting base hits, finding his way on base, just the home runs had kind of dried up on him, and obviously the RBI, as a result, suffered from that. But he's been tremendous and continues to be an important cog in this lineup. But now we're starting to see Matt Olson over the last month and a half is turning back into Matt Olson. And then in addition to that, you got Jorge Soler finally starting to show some signs as well. So I think if you get those guys going, see what you can get from Michael Harris, plug Ozzie Albies back in there, all of a sudden you have a lineup that could go beyond just the Marcell Ozuna factor for sure.
Hopefully this is a question that they have to answer, meaning that they get into a playoff series and this comes up. But if the Braves were in a situation where they had to figure out what their playoff rotation was, where would Spencer Schwellenbach fit in?
That's a really good question, and I'm feeling like it's one that they're going to have a really serious discussion about, yeah, because Ronaldo with the injury is the only thing that gives you pause about him. I think you know where Chris Sale's supposed to be, yep, and you know where Max Fried is going to be. The question a little bit, maybe more so, is, you know, where does Charlie Morton fit into this mix? But I'll throw this out there as well. Dealing with the 3-game wild card scenario, the Braves are in kind of a uniquely qualified position when it comes to starters, because somebody's going to have to throw those important games to get through a wild card and then be ready for a division series after that. So I say you throw your best arms in the wild card, knowing that you still have capable starters waiting on the other side. The Braves may look to do that with Spencer Schwellenbach. They may go veteran route in the 3-game series. That's and then right, if they could win it in 2, that'd be great, because then you didn't have to burn the 3rd guy and you can start to look at what game 1 of the division series would look like. But all of this is a lot of, you know, what if scenarios, right, for the right, Braves right now. You just got to win in advance. Yeah. But yeah, they're in a good spot though. And Spencer Schwellenbach has shown time and time again, he needs to be in those plans.
And you're saying that veteran, you're talking with basically Sale, Fried and Charlie?
Or Sale, Fried, and Ronaldo Lopez.
I'm saying, I mean, if you don't get Lopez, yeah, back, okay.
No, if you don't get Lopez back, then I think you could make an argument between Morton and Schwellenbach. Okay. And people may not want to hear that because we look at the recency of, you know, who's done what the best this year. I think the edge would go to Schwellenbach, but Charlie Morton has the best postseason resume of anybody on this staff. Right. That's at least going to be a discussion.
Can we get, I know his back keeps him in the lineup. It keeps him in the outfield, Grant. It does. And I know he's never going to win a gold glove. But this Soler thing, I mean, would it be better in the other corner outfielder, or is it just, I mean, we just going to have to live with this?
I've wondered that, but the answer is ultimately what you just said. You kind of have to live with it. It's the arrangement that you made, knowing that you couldn't DH him because you have somebody who's plugged in at DH, and no, you don't want to tell Marcell Ozuna after 140 or 50 games that he needs to go play the outfield. That's not an option, or
that's that glove off,
the
buddy,
route that you want to go. Yeah, I mean, this is just kind of, you're going to deal with it in hopes that you get the offense. If he swings like he has lately, that will make up for it. But there are going to be those games and those plays where you just look at and think, you know, it's not ideal, but you've got to make some sacrifices right now in the name of just necessity, if nothing else.
They don't let you use 2 DHs in the playoffs? They don't do that?
No, they let you use that in most slow-pitch softball leagues, but not in Major League Baseball.
Oh, dang it. All right. I was hoping maybe they changed that rule. Grant, we appreciate it, as always.
Appreciate
Thank you,
G-Mac.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.